When you and I, in our attitude, begin to see ourselves as servants, we begin to view our life from the same perspective Jesus viewed himself. He said he didn't come to be served, he came to serve.
A warm welcome to the Thursday edition of In Touch, the teaching ministry of Charles Stanley. We live in a self-centered society, and the idea of serving other people doesn't come to us naturally. But much of what Jesus taught goes against the grain of the world system. For example, he said that to be great in God's kingdom, you must become a servant, and to be first, you must choose to be last. Those are often difficult principles to grasp, because we're conditioned to believe that hard work and self-effort will eventually get us to the top. But Jesus didn't just leave us a set of rules to follow. He demonstrated to us how to live. And today, Dr. Stanley challenges us to follow Christ's example and develop a servant spirit. Listen.
Some of the most precious principles in the Word of God are not stated in black and white, thou shalt or thou shalt not. But some of them are best discovered in the lives of God's great servants. And today, in this message of learning how to be a servant of God, developing a servant spirit, one of the most beautiful epitaphs ever to be written about any person is found in Acts chapter 13, verse 36. And so if you'll turn there with us for just a moment, and I want us to read a passage here in this book. And it is about one of our most famous and most well-known of all biblical characters. But it's interesting in the 36th verse of the 13th chapter of Acts, how God, through His Holy Spirit, summarized in one small capsule of a verse the life of a great servant. Listen. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid among his fathers. Now, when you and I think of David, usually we think of David the soldier, David the statesman, David the king. And usually we'll think of his attributes and his characteristics. We think of his childhood. We think of primarily his encounter with Goliath. But isn't it significant that in these latter days, as the New Testament church was beginning, as the Holy Spirit inspired the writer, he capsuled the life of Israel's greatest king in that one simple word. He said, David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep. That is, among all the qualities and the characteristics of David, beyond being a king and a soldier and a statesman, David was a servant. He grew up serving his father, as you read his life. He served his brothers. He served Saul when Saul loved him, and he served King Saul when King Saul hated him. He served the nation of Israel. He served God. All of his life, he served the Lord. He wasn't a perfect servant. Isn't that wonderful? He wasn't a perfect servant. But isn't it significant that God said about him, a man after my own heart? David was a servant of the living God. But the second thing I want you to notice about him, and in the process of looking at his life, we began to glean and begin to see what God is trying to do in our own lives. The scripture says, for David, after he served the purpose of God. Let me ask you a question. What are you living for? Are you living to serve your purpose or God's purpose? Do you think that you're here simply to live a life of ease, comfort, and pleasure, and so you're working to serve yourself? If I should ask you as a businessman, when you began your business, did you begin your business by saying, now, how can I serve the people who are going to work for me? How can I serve my clients, my patients? How can I serve my customers? Or is your idea, as most institutions teach, now, if you're going to make it, here's what you've got to do. You've got to give it all you've got. You've got to climb the ladder. You've got to go to it. You've got to stay at it. You've got to achieve. You've got to set goals. You've got to work at it. You decide what you want out of life, how you want people to affect you. And there are all kinds of self-help books that, in essence, motivate men and women to use other people in order to get what they want to get out of life. And I want to tell you that is absolutely diametrically opposed to everything Jesus said. He said, if you want to be great and you want to receive, you listen, you allow your life to be squeezed out, whether it's in your business, among your friends, or in your family. Let your life be squeezed out into the lives of other people. You become a servant by nature, servant by attitude, servant in character, servant in spirit, servant in actions. You show me a man who's the president of any corporation who has a servant spirit, and I'll show you a man who's loved by a lot of folks. You show me a man who has authority over people, but who's willing to get down the midst of their problems and listen to them and ask, what can I do to help you? No matter how far down on the earthly scale they are, and I'll show you a man who grows every day in stature before those people. Now, you know one way the devil tricks us? He says this, if you act like a servant, I'll tell you what they're going to do. They're going to take advantage of you. So what? Did they not take advantage of Jesus? And you know what happens? After a while, you keep taking advantage of someone and they keep on loving you. What happens? I'll tell you what happens. Love never fails. A servant is going to win. Sooner or later, a servant spirit is going to conquer. You don't have to worry about being a servant. The greatest people are those who have a servant spirit, who are willing to pour out their lives and give of themselves to other people no matter what. But I think it's very significant what he says. He says, for David, after he had served the purpose of God, not his own purposes. What are you working for? So you can have this, 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 that, or the other? There's nothing wrong with that. But if that's the motivation, if that's all you're living for, and all you're working for, so you have one more promotion and achieve one more goal and possess one more earthly possession, if that's all it's about, I want to tell you, you've missed the point. You and I were born to worship and serve the living God. We were born for that purpose. We're on a mission of service, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He predestined beforehand could be true in your life. A servant, willing to give of yourself. What are you doing with your life? My friend, listen to me carefully. It's so easy to become an island and to protect your shores and your income and your future and your goals and your plans. And before long, while you may be floating among many, you're still your little island all to yourself. You and your family and your plans. And I want to tell you, God has nothing to do with that. We are to love one another and to serve each other. You cannot be an isolated person in your personality. You cannot be isolated in your lifestyle and be a servant of the living God. Servants don't stand behind pulpits and church members sit in pews. Every single one of us is a servant of the living God. Whether we serve or not, God sees us as His servants. But there's a key to that. It's in this same chapter. Look in verse 22 of Acts 13. You know, Saul was the king before David. And the scripture says in verse 22, and after he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, this is what God said about David the servant. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. Now listen to me, parents. I don't know what the priority is in your family of teaching your children, but I want to challenge you to make this the priority principle that you present to your children, first of all by example and then by principle. Teaching them to have a heart after God. That is, that the priority of their life is to hunger for God, to thirst for God, to yearn to know Him, and a commitment to do all the will of God for their life. That doesn't mean they won't sin against God. Doesn't mean they're not going to fail. Doesn't mean they're not going to have times of disastrous failure. Look at the life of David. He went through great failure. But why is it that you and I, when we get in the valley, what do we run? We run to the book of Psalms because David, who had a heart after God, and who did the will of the Father had his valley experiences and his disasters and his failures and his frailties and his weakness. But God said of that man who was guilty of adultery, murder, and lying, he says, he's a man after my heart, committed to doing all of my will, and God made that man the greatest king in all of Israel. Whose purpose are you serving? Are you serving your purpose or God's purpose? Are you living for you or are you living for Almighty God? What is the motivation of your life? From God's wonderful, loving viewpoint, he has gifted you, he has equipped you, he has given you talents, he has given you his life to live within you and through you. He has given you his grace and his favor. And what he wants to do is he wants to serve the people around you by serving them through you. Now let me ask you a question. If God asks you to do something, will you say no to God? No, I'm not going to do it. Now, let's don't have any rationalization. Let's just be forthright and honest. If God says, here's what I want you to do, is there anything? He's not going to do anything foolish, absurd, or beyond your capacity. Is there anything that God could require of you that you would say to God, no, I'm not going to do it? Well, my friend, many of you have been telling God no for a long time. And I want you to think about something for a moment. This is the God whom you and I know to be our judge. This is the God who created everything. This is the God who allows your heart to beat one more time and it just beat and it's beating again. This is the same God who gave you eyes to see, ears to hear, and lips with which to speak. Makes your body function. Your family, your friends, your life, living in a free country. This is the God who saved you by his grace, who could have let you go to hell. It is this God. Can this God ask you to do anything of which you will reply, no, I'm not going to do it? You say, oh no, I would never say no to God. Oh, you wouldn't? How many times, my friend, have you said no to your sovereign Lord? Oh, you say, well, I wouldn't say no. I know you wouldn't say it in that way, but here's where you say it. You say, Lord, I heard what you... Oh, you got to be mistaken. You couldn't be talking about me. You've got to be talking about somebody else because there's no way I could do that. Now, what you've done, you've tried to argue with God, but you've really said, no, I'm not going to do it. Or you may have said, Lord, you know I'll serve you any way you want me to serve you. You just name it, Lord. And here's what I've been doing. You see what I've been doing. Lord, what I'm going to do is I'm going to double. In fact, Lord, I'm going to triple my efforts over here. I know what you're referring to over here, but Lord, I just don't feel very comfortable with that. So I'm going to triple my efforts over here. And I believe if I triple my efforts, you'll be happy. Thank you, Lord. And we just walk off and do our thing. What you've said is you've said, no, God, I'm not going to do it. Now, let me ask you a question. In a split second, faster than that, God can wreck a whole major city. He can destroy everything that he chooses to destroy in one split second. And there is no place to run and no way to hide. You mean to tell me that you're going to tell him no? You're going to say no to God? Now, I know what you do. You pat it. I understand that. Well, Lord, I've been thinking about what you said. Well, Lord, I am going to consider it. And here's two of Satan's phrases. Someday I'll learn the Bible. Someday I'll get involved in the work of the church. Someday I'm going to start serving God. Someday my life's really going to begin to count. Someday I'm going to die and I'm going to be awfully sorry. The other phrase Satan uses is if I'd. Well, now, if I'd have had the opportunity he had, oh, I'd be serving God. If I had her looks, oh, if I had his opportunity, if I had his job, if I'd, and someday I'll. Friend, you need to put those two phrases in the trash. They came straight from the devil. Someday I'll, when is someday? If I'd what? If you live an if out of life and a someday I'll life, you know what will happen? You'll end up at the end of life full of dreaded disappointment. The Bible says that David lived, and he served the purposes of God. He didn't serve his own purposes. He served the purposes of God. Now, here's what we do. We say, Lord, I'm willing to serve you. I'm willing to serve you. And we don't allow him to tell us what to do, how to do it, where to do it, when to do it. We want to set our own schedule. But you see, when you tell him that you're too busy doing what you're doing to do what he's asked you to do, what you've said is no. And we've just so camouflaged that thing and painted it up and looks so good. Looks like, you see, let me ask you a question. Do you think when you tell God no, God says, okay, I won't bother you anymore. Just don't worry about it. Do you think God walks off and says, all right, when you say no to God? I'm here to tell you, my friend, that is serious business to say no to God. Well, I want you to look at a third thing that Scripture says about him. David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, he fell asleep. After he served the purpose of God in his own generation. Now listen, you cannot serve the past. That's over. The only way you can serve the future is by serving the present. The only way you and I can prepare for the future is to do something in the present here and now. And you see, I'm not talking about just serving God in the church, though that is a vital part of what I'm talking about. He served the purpose of God in his own generation. That is, David didn't say, someday I'll, one of these days, I hope so, but in his lifetime, he made his life count there and then. And God is expecting the same thing for you and me. First of all, in your family, in your business, among your friends, making your life count. My friend, don't belittle yourself and say, well, you know, I'm just a. Did you know that as a servant of God, you're never just a? Just a what? Just a servant of God. Can you beat that? Somebody says, well, I'm working for the top. I want to tell you, if you're a servant of God and you see yourself as a servant of God, you're already on the top. Let me ask you to get a pencil and piece of paper out. I want you to jot down several things because I want to talk about how you can serve your own generation. How do you serve your generation? Jot these down right quick. Number one, you refuse to be a slave to it. You don't let yourself get entrapped by the fads and the fashions and the secularism of your generation. If you're going to serve your generation for God, you refuse to become enslaved to it. Secondly, you refuse to run from it. You're not the kind of person who wants to get out here and build yourself a little island and have your little commune and your little community, and all of us Christians are just going to love each other and love Jesus till he comes. We're not going to get ourselves involved in the big city. We're not going to get ourselves involved in all the troubles and the heartaches. We're just going to hide out over here till Jesus comes. I want to tell you, my friend, that is totally unscriptural. If you notice the life of Paul, where did Paul spend his ministry? He spent most of his ministry going from one big city to the other where all hell was breaking loose and leaving an indelible impression that they would never, never forget. You don't run from it. Suicide is a cop-out from facing your society. Suicide is a cop-out of your responsibility to serve the living God. Number three, how do you serve your generation? You discover a need and give yourself to meeting that need by the help of Almighty God, through His power. Discover a need and give yourself to meeting that need. Next, you serve your generation by being willing to perform the commonplace things. You're not the kind of person who's waiting for the big opportunity. You just start where you are. You just start doing the thing that you see needs to be done. You become involved now in somebody's life, in the life of the church. You do what needs to be done. You don't wait for the big opportunity. That'll come. But the next one is this. You prepare yourself for future opportunities. Not only are you doing the commonplace thing now, but to serve your generation, you prepare for those future opportunities. To serve your generation, you must serve it continuously. Lots of folks who start, many people who quit, but are you one of those who hangs in there? How do you serve your generation? You serve your generation faithfully. You can be counted on to keep hanging in there and helping meet the need till the need is met. Lastly, you serve your generation by preparing a way for those who are going to follow you. How many of us do anything that we know that we'll never get any credit for? It'll never mean anything personally significant to us, But we know that because we did it, and because we were there, the generation that follows us is going to be better simply because you and I were there. That's how you serve your generation. Then I want you to turn to Psalm 92. Very significant passage that I want you to notice here. Psalm 92. Let me ask you this. Notice what the Bible says here about David. That after he served the purpose of God in his generation, the scripture says that he was laid to rest. He served God until he was laid to rest. Verse 12. The righteous man will flourish like the palm tree, lots of coconuts. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, stalwart and strong. Planted in the house of the Lord. That is, he's a vital part of the work of God. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit when? In old age. Now I want you to notice two of the verses, then I'm going to close. Look in John chapter 12, verse 26. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant also be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him or her. Honored by the Father. Then if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 6. These are two wonderful verses. Hebrews chapter 6. Listen to what the Lord says to all of us, to his servants, and that's all of us. And it may be that you're one of those faithful servants of God and you're serving him in a very difficult place today and you think, God, do you know where I am? Do you know how I'm hurting? Do you know how I'm suffering? Listen to this verse. For God, Hebrews 6:10 now, for God is not unrighteous or unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. He is not going to forget. He says he's going to honor you, and he's never going to forget a single thing that you ever do in his name as a servant.
Are you spending your life on yourself, or are you investing it in the lives of others? Charles Stanley's motivating message challenged us to get involved in the lives of others. Begin today to reach out to those around you. And remember that nothing you do as a servant of God will ever be forgotten. Change in behavior doesn't always come as quickly as we'd like, but change is God's ultimate goal for us. God wants to change us so that we're just like His Son. That's also the purpose and the goal of our monthly publication, the In Touch magazine. Each month you'll find instructive articles by Charles Stanley that make it easy to apply scriptural principles to the situations you encounter. If you're looking for solid and practical biblical guidelines upon which to build your life, then write today for your free subscription to the In Touch magazine. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Our internet address is intouch.org. The Bible clearly states that we are saved by grace and not by works, but good deeds do have a significant place in the life of the believer. Tomorrow on In Touch, Dr. Stanley explains the rewards of service. So join us. The teaching of Charles Stanley is touching the world with a passion for God and compassion for people. A presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.